Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk Call-In Radio Show with the valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests. Ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello. You're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I'm your host, Deb Wolf, and I've got a lot of news for you today, which I'm going to weave in and out of the program, things about snakes and coyotes and all kinds of things. You might call them coyotes, depending where you're from, but coyotes nonetheless. And also, we've got three great guests today. We've got, starting up, Stacy Mantle, as usual, from Pets Weekly. Later in the show, we've got my old friend, Dusty Rainbolt, the cat wrangler. And she can tell you how to get your cats, who, no matter how many you have, to get along, and how to read their body language, and how to tell who's in charge, and who's the victim, who's the bully, which is not easy. So all kinds of stuff from Dusty. I loved her book. And lastly, of course, Dr. Carol. And she answers your questions. I've got questions. You've got questions. So we'll talk to her about some of the things that have come up in the news as well. And right now, Stacy Mantle from Pets Weekly, petsweekly.com. Welcome to the show, Stacy.
Oh, well, thank you for having me again.
Well, what do we do? Our pets are boiling. They're complaining. What have you got for us from PetsWeekly.com for those pets suffering in the heat?
You know, it's so important to keep them cool, and especially out here in Arizona where we're at, and we're always whining about the heat. But, you know, there's a lot of things you can do. There's air-conditioned dog houses now that are available. And those are absolutely wonderful if you can get your pets to go in them and enjoy them.
You know, I saw two dogs, St. Bernards, who live in Dubai. And I was kind of on their case. They sent me an email about it. And I was on their case about, you know, how can that be so cruel to have St. Bernards in Dubai? Because I really believe you should have an animal in the right climate. And they sent me back photographs of the air conditioning system and the pools and all this other stuff. They even had a snowmaking machine. I mean, no, dogs weren't suffering, but I guess that's extreme, hey?
That is very extreme. Never heard of that, but that's really interesting. I'd love to see their setup. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things you can do. The Honest Kitchen just came out with ice pups, which are, it's basically like a chicken broth kind of thing that you can freeze, and it's nutritious and grain-free and made from dehydrated chicken, and they have one that's made from turkey. And it's just a little powdery mix. You mix it up, throw it in the freezer, and you can make these little ice cubes. The dogs love them. You can freeze your toys into a block of ice and give them something to kind of play with and do while they're gnawing their way through that. And it just keeps them a little cooler. Frozen Kong toys are always good. You know, make a little peanut butter and blend or cook chicken blend and freeze it. Those are fantastic.
You know, that reminds me of when you look on the news and you see animals at the zoos, and they'll do that sometimes. They'll freeze their food in big hunks of water and let them play with it if it's an animal that's really meant for colder climates. But again, I kind of feel sorry for them. I kind of feel like they shouldn't keep,
really,
you know, polar bears in desert places, and they shouldn't keep elephants in Canada. And I just think it's so much easier on the animal if they're kept in a climate similar to theirs, you know?
I totally agree. Yeah. I wish that was the way it could be all the time. I really do. But unfortunately, we know what the animal situation is like around the world. And so I guess we all have to sort of make accommodations for everybody. But at least they're trying, you know. And hopefully the animals are a little more happy, you know, being in a safe environment. And, you know, and it's really good environmental enrichment just to offer snow or a toy pool or something along those lines, you know, any kind of frozen treat, and it keeps them happier and cooler, and that's the end goal.
Okay, so we talked about the heat. Lately in the news, in Canada anyway, the big airline, Air Canada, which is the government one, just changed their rules, and it was a really odd kind of a ruling. They decided that a person with severe allergies is the same as a disabled person at law, and therefore has the same charter rights to the freedom to not be near a dog or a cat on a plane. And so now Air Canada, if someone, when they book, says, I have severe allergies, they have to make sure any dogs or cats are at least five rows away from them. And that means you could be bumped at the last minute to another flight. You could be told your dog or cat has to fly under when you thought they were flying with you. So animal people are really not sure about this. And then the other airline here, a big one, WestJet, said that even though they're not mandated to do so, they're gonna honor this as well. Now, so that brought up the question, well, what if somebody who's blind with a seeing eye dog books, at the same time someone with an allergy books, and there's not enough room on the plane? Well, then it goes to whoever's there first. What do you think about this? This is, like, bizarre, isn't it?
You know, I think it's probably... It is. It's really bizarre. And I can see some level of that, but honestly, I mean, I don't know. As an animal lover, I'm totally opposed to it. But at the same time, it's really hard. I mean, how do you make adjustments for those types of disabilities? And I don't know.
I hope they're checking. Like, I hope they check the allergy status. You know, the person doesn't just get to call in the way they do to register for a vegetarian meal or a kosher meal. Because then you'll have animal haters saying, oh, yes, I'm severely allergic. When they're really, you know, they just shouldn't pet it, or they just don't like to pet it, or they're just an annoying person.
They should have to verify it, too. I mean, I think just like with a service dog, you should have to have some sort of verification. I know they don't require that for a lot of things, but you at least have to have a doctor's note saying that you are required to fly with your dog. And I would hope they would hold the allergy sufferers to the same level. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Okay, so what about traveling with your pets? Have you got anything on PetsWeekly.com that would work for that, make it easier?
Actually, you know, I'll tell you, one thing that I've really relied on is Sherpa Pet. We work with them a lot, and they have a guaranteed on-board policy. So if you're, you know, all of our airline regulations are governed by the FAA. I mean, by the individual airlines and not the FAA. So there's no global, that's where all this stuff is coming from. There's no, like, worldwide federation that they have to follow regulation-wise. So Sherpa has worked with individual airlines to create a guaranteed on-board program. So if you have your pets in one of their carriers and you're turned down for any reason about that carrier, that your carrier is not airline certified, and they do turn pets down once in a while, Sherpa will cover your entire cost. So the cost of your flight, your airline, you know, your pet's flight, everything, and it's called the Guarantee and On-Board Program. So whenever you fly with Sherpa, if you have a Sherpa carrier and your pet is turned down for any reason, they will cover all those costs.
I just had a couple buy a poodle from me because I'm selling standard poodle puppies. They were born June 1st. If you guys want to look at them, go to Camp Good Dog on Facebook, and you can see my cute red and apricot puppies playing in the backyard with our mom and their auntie. But anyway, someone came all the way from Panama because there are no standard poodles in Panama. There just aren't. And there isn't a country over, and there isn't another country over. She has one as a pet, but there's no breeding stock, no puppies available. She looked in three different countries, decided Canada was her best bet, had family here, flew all the way to Toronto, then over to Vancouver, then looked at the litters that were available at the time, decided on my puppy, yay. Then I went with her to the vet, got all kinds of hoops and paperwork. You wouldn't believe it. She had to fill out this all special form and then have it couriered to Ottawa and then sent back to the consulate of Panama. Like, crazy stuff, right? And all, you know, the puppy could only see the vet and then fly within 10 days, but the courier stuff had to be done. It just was like exact timing required. She went through all this, and because she was willing to do all this, I knew she'd make a good home. But I also was willing to send it because I knew it was flying with her on the plane. It was a really young puppy, but it was going to be with her the entire time. And I was like on pins and needles till the next day I got the text. We're here. We're in Panama. We're all okay. Puppy's eating. You know, excellent. Okay. And flying with a pet can be terrifying, especially if you don't know. It's terrible.
Right.
The insurance makes it so much better. At least that's covered. You can make decisions and not have to do something you don't want to do because of money.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is just a really nice program because there's no charge for it. It's just use their carriers, and they guarantee all of their carriers will get on board. So, you know, they just developed all these great relationships. So check out the Guaranteed On Board program over at SherpaPet.com. And I think you'll really be happy with that.
Okay, what do you want to talk about next week?
Oh, we always have wonderful things we can talk about next week. So right now we're doing some things on pet obesity and training, which would be right up your alley. So I'd love to talk to you more about that.
I can always you know what? I have friends who believe in operant conditioning, they call it. Oh, we're out of time, Stacey. Till next week, then. Stay tuned, all pods.
Okay.
Hey, pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made. And here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So, do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Radio. And this is your host, Deb Wolf, back with my old friend, Dusty Rainbolt, the cat wrangler. Welcome to the show, Dusty.
Well, thank you for having me back. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you. I told them before the break that you know how to tell the bully cat from the victim and all kinds of body language stuff that blew my mind when I first read your book, The Cat Wrangler. But now you've got a new book out. And we do have a question for you today, so you can't get off the hook on that one. But I want to know about your new book. It sounds so different from the other stuff you've written. It's called Death Under the Crescent Moon. What's it about, Dusty?
Well, it is a paranormal mystery that takes place in 1939. And a woman is diagnosed with a terminal disease, and she goes to this cancer hospital. It's all based on fact and real people and real hospitals and real ghosts. And Anyway, it takes
real place ghosts. I like that. Real ghosts. As opposed to the other kind.
Yes. But it took place at the Baker Hospital in Eureka Springs in 1939. And anyway, Baker ran a cancer hospital, and the story is about a woman who goes for treatment, and her husband has recently died, and she promised to take care of his cat, so she brings the cat with her. And anyway.
Okay, so way back then, I'm thinking, we had an interview recently with Sue Belanda, and she talked about the animals who had to hide out during the war or be given up by Jewish people during the Second World War. And I'm thinking that's around the time that Anne Frank and her cat would have gone into hiding. But it's also probably, like you were telling me before we came on air, way before cat litter, right? So how did that affect people, the unmentionable?
As a matter of fact, World War II starts during the book. The first shots were fired September 1st, 1939, and you actually get to hear some, get to read some of the news reports that the character listens to. But yes, cat litter was actually developed by a guy named Edward Lowe in 1947, and he sold something called Fuller's Earth, and he sold it's like construction material, and he was trying to get the animal industry involved in purchasing it. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
and so
okay.
He was trying to talk chicken farmers into buying this and using it for chicken bedding. Well, the chicken farmers weren't really very excited about it, but his neighbor, she was concerned because her sandbox that she used for her indoor
kitty.
Oh, it was
the popular litter box,
yes,
was it?
This this was up north, and the ice and snow had covered her sand. And so she went to Ed, and she said, "Do you have anything I can put in my cat's sanitary pan," is what they called them at that time. Otherwise, she would either use newspapers, which absorb the ammonia, and it's just horrible, makes your eyes water.
Oh, or, it gets soggy. It's disgusting.
Oh, it's horrible, yes. Or soot, and they would use soot from the fireplaces. But the problem with that is the cat goes in there. The cat loves it. It's nice and soft.
But they're covered in gray ash.
So you have all these little sooty footprints all over the place.
No, they go over your white carpet or your white
sofa.
Everybody decorates now in these monochrome whites. I mean, can you imagine gray footprints everywhere? That'd be terrible.
Well, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, well, I'm glad they invented kitty litter. Now they've got all kinds, deodorized, clumping. And despite the many kinds and the many litter boxes, I think the question I get most when I'm on air with someone like you is, why won't my cat use the litter box? And we've answered it and answered it and answered it. So today, I don't think we're going to answer it. We're going to wait till someone asks it again. Today we have a question
but
for
I
Dusty.
Will say, I will, let me say one thing. If your cat suddenly stops using the litter box, first
go
thing
to
you have
vet.
To do is take them to the vet because it may not be a behavior problem at all. So
the other basic thing is location is critical, and there has to be more litter boxes or at least as many as there are cats. And I know people hate that, and you can't put them all together, and you can't put them in a noisy place or a place where the furnace kicks in. But we can talk about that another time because we didn't have that question today. Dusty, we had a question from someone with two kittens they adopted, rescued, and one is really, really friendly, cuddles, comes to its name. They feel like they're ready to release it from the room they were quarantining it in for the month or so when they first got it and let it have the run of more of the house. But the other kitten is still really shy. Sometimes it'll let them pet it, but not if they make eye contact. It'll hide from them. So they're keeping them both stuck in one room until they get over this, and they'll both come. They're going to need to be neutered soon, and they want to be able to, for sure, you know, have no problems catching him. Although they said they did do dewormer the other day, so they're managing a little bit with the gray one. But apparently, the little gray Manx cat, whenever they have to do something with it, it does end badly, with it scratching and going more wild. Oh no, we're running out of time. You know what? I think we're going to have to come back for another segment with you. Oh,
okay.
We got 3 minutes. You know what? We got 3 minutes. We might be able to do it, Dusty. So what should these people do with their two little kittens?
Okay, first of all, they need to play with the little kittens. There are some wonderful toys out there, and everybody says, oh, they have toys. Now, these are the toys where you get the stick with the feather on it, and you make them run and play. That's part of the bonding process. Also, something very pleasant needs to happen every time that kitten sees those people. That kitten gets a treat. That kitten gets a scratch under the neck. He gets baby talk. There has to be a reason why that kitten's going, oh, well, maybe that's not so bad. Right now I have a kitten named Sterling, and when I got her, she had had an open compound fracture that had healed. And so we had to treat her for bone infections.
Yeah, that can turn a personality if everything's painful and difficult. That's a hard one. We are going to run out of time, Dusty, but we're going to come back when we go to break. Stay tuned for the rest of Dusty's answer. And I'm also going to ask you about a big conference coming up soon. And maybe I keep getting these warning emails all the time. Parasite alert, parasite alert. Is it really that dangerous to change the litter? I'm not pregnant. I'm not autoimmune. You know, should I be worried about this if I wash my hands after? And what about my kids being in the same room as a litter box? Is that a big deal? I mean, yeah, I kind of have a lot of cats, so I have to have a lot of litter boxes. So I'm going to ask you about that, and maybe, I hate to do it, but maybe we will give the litter box talk. I'll let you do it. You can spare me the potty talk today. Okay, everybody, stay tuned. We'll be back with Dusty Rainbow on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, Smart Animal Talk, in a moment.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Chatting right through the break. And so we got to backtrack a little bit, Dusty. We've been on to aloof cats. And I, you know what, sometimes people say to me, oh, this cat is so needy. Don't you ever pet it? Actually, it's the opposite. That cat gets so much attention. If you don't pet a cat enough, you get an aloof cat. But maybe we'll talk about that in a minute. So, Dusty, can you finish your story about the one that had all this unfortunate stuff happening to it and it was scared? What do you
do to make this? Bless her heart. She had been sleeping in a lady's garage, and in the 20-degree weather we were having in Dallas, and we caught her in a trap, and she hadn't been very well socialized, but she was gentle. Anyway, for months I had to medicate her twice a day for her bone infection, and then eventually we wound up having to amputate the leg just in the last 3 or 4 weeks. And, God, it has just been so difficult because it's hard to bond with an animal that you have to mistreat, even if it's for their own good. So we're working on it now. Lots of deli turkey and treats and scratches, and she is, thank goodness, coming around. So
these people with the two kittens, I guess they have to avoid the trap of petting the nice one and ignoring the scared one, but they also maybe should go in there with special food every time they're in there, so it just thinks their arrival is terrific, maybe? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, yes. You can, if the animal likes deli turkey, then every time you go in there, that kitty gets a deli turkey. Or the you bring in that toy on the string, you know, the feather on the string. And they will wait for your presence. But it might
so should they wait on letting the friendly one out until the scaredy one is more tame? I think they should.
No, actually, no? You might have better luck bonding with the other one if he's not dependent on his buddy.
Oh. But then the little one that's friendly has to deal with their other cats by himself. Is that a good plan, too, not as a team? I thought as a team might be stronger. They already have a few cats, so they're trying to do it slowly.
Well, you know, it might be better for the other cats if you do one at a time anyway.
Really?
You know,
okay.
it really just depends on their home. They've been in the bathroom for a month or so their cats are going to be used to the smell. You know, slow introductions, let the kitten go in a room at a time and introduce them to one adult at a time. And you know, perhaps if you slowly release them into the house and then bring them back,
Right.
And while the kitty is out in the house, then somebody can be playing with the remaining kitten, the shy kitten.
I see what you mean. They said there's a glass door so the regular cats can see, and they've all seen and done their hissing and stopped their hissing. And the most friendly of the other cats, a young juvenile male, has been in the room with them and been very fine, like just laid out and played with them and stuff like that. So I think they're well on their way. I think the mistake most people make is too much too fast when they get a
Absolutely.
New cat.
Absolutely. These people, I wish I could clone them.
Well, you know what? They've been listening to my show for years, and they've even heard you with me before. And they sent me a question asking me, are you ever going to have that cat lady on again? And I filed it under Dusty, so I had it right there. Because you and I, we've done a ton of shows. We were on every week for a while, weren't we?
We were. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that.
That was good. Okay, so you've got a conference coming. Do you want to talk about that?
I do. I am blessed to be the vice president of the Cat Writers Association. We are a professional writers organization. We are journalists who write, broadcast, and photograph cats. And anyway, we are having our annual conference October 31st through November 2nd in Irving, Texas, which is part of Dallas. Of course, Irving's not going to want you to say hear that, but they're part of the Metroplex. And anyway, it's going to be a wonderful conference. It's going to be for people who want to increase their writing skills, for people who would love to learn to write. For the first time, we are having a rescue communications track for people involved in rescue, how to improve their newsletters, how to increase adoptions, the title of this one is Reinventing Yourself for the Digital Age. So writers are in a transitional period. You know, it was books and magazines, and now there's the world of self-publishing, and there's blogs, and there's, you know, just everything is different. So,
you know, I keep starting. Like, I start to blog, or I start to do YouTube whatevers, or I start to tweet, or I start, and then I lose interest in it. I'm too busy with the puppies and the dogs and the cats and the radio shows, and I kind of fall off. And I know there's an efficient way to do all this stuff. I just don't know how to do it, you know.
Well,
and so I guess I should be going to your conference, and
you
I am a member, and I'm not planning to go, so bad on me. You should
You are a little ways away. It is in Texas. So, and besides that, Texas is a wonderful place to be in November. So,
November in Texas, and it's right around my birthday. I know I'm always tempted when it's in California, but I've never been able to go. Okay, well, we're almost done. We have to finish up. Can you tell me how people should find out about that, the CWAA or CWA?
Okay, we're in the process of bringing a brand new website online. It's not there yet. But right now they can get information at www.catwriters.org, and hopefully by the end of the week they will be able to get much more information at www.catwriters.com.
Okay, and, well, thank you.
And just one more thing, the name of the book is Death Under the Crescent Moon, and it's available on Kindle and through Yard Dog Press and also, of course, Amazon.
Well, thanks for joining me again, Dusty.
Well, thank you for having me.
Got distracted by you and the content of this show, and I'm not really sure how much time we have left. So in case we get cut off, oh, we've got 2 minutes. That's great.
Oh,
okay, so I want to ask you about the parasite thing. I get these emails all the time. Warning, parasite alert. Is it the same old, don't change the litter and eat right after, wash your hands, wear gloves, and if you're pregnant or autoimmune, be extra careful? Or is there something more going on here?
Oh, I think it's the same old, same old. There is a population of people who don't like cats, and studies can say anything. But if you want the real story about toxoplasmosis, go to the do CDC, search Google CDC and toxoplasmosis and cats, and you can get it right from the Center for Disease Control, and they just tell you basically, wash your hands, don't eat cat poop. And if you change your litter box every day, it takes more than 24 hours for the oocyst to become infective. So if you clean your box every day, you shouldn't have a problem. But you should, you know, take precautions, wash your hands. When you garden, make sure that you use gloves. Make sure you garden, wash your hands very well afterward, because you may have a cat that has used your flower bed for a litter box.
Everybody. You know, well, that's more from Dusty Rainbold. If you want to know more, find her, find the CWA. And Dusty, it's been great having you as always. I do think we're out of time on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned for Dr. Carol. Thanks, Dusty.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Hello, welcome back to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf and Dr. Carol, Dr. Carol Osborne, as always. Welcome to the show again, Dr. Carol.
Well, thank you, Deborah. I'm delighted to join you.
I have a quick question from a child about her cat. She wants to know, it seems to her that all cats have this, at the base of their ear, on the outside of the base of the ear, is there a little flap or fold of skin, almost like a circle there? What's going on with that? Is that their earlobe? What is that?
It's the entrance to the ear canal.
On the outside, the little flap? At the very base? Do you have a cat in the room with you? Can you grab a cat and look where I'm talking about?
I am looking as I speak.
Just above the cheek. Right above the whiskers in the cheek, on the outer side of the triangle, there's this little the skin sort of goes in and comes back again.
Oh, that, yeah, that's just a normal part of a cat's ear anatomy for which, to my knowledge, there's no specific name.
There's but no name for that, and it has no use, right? Is it just like an earlobe, sort of?
Quite honestly, in nature, my guess is that it's an extra added layer of protection to protect when the ears are normal, to protect that external ear canal so that debris, you know, and foreign particles, et cetera, don't go flying into your kitty's ears.
You know, since we're talking about it, can you explain, because not everybody knows this, can you explain about some of the other features of the cat, like the eyes have extras we might not know about?
Well, cat's eyes are pretty similar to dogs and cat's eyes. The biggest difference that I think you're referring to is the third eyelid, also referred to as the gland of the nictitans, which comes from the inside of corner of the eye, the corner of each eye closest to the nose, if you will. And that third eyelid will start to spread over the actual eye. Again, it's another protective mechanism. And if your cat gets a scratch to the cornea or a little bit of eye damage or just has an irritated eye, to protect the eye from further damage, that membrane will extend itself to cover part of the actual cornea or the outermost covering of the eye. Again, it's a built-in protective mechanism that Mother Nature provides.
Okay, so for me, if I look at my cat and he has that sort of possessed, weird-looking thing where his eye is sort of half open and half concealed, I don't panic. I don't actually do anything for a little while because sometimes it just writes itself. I don't run to the vet. But if this were going on for more than a day or two, I definitely would take it into the vet. Is that right?
Absolutely. With any problem, especially an eye problem, but in general, with any major problem, if 24 to 48 hours go by and nothing has resolved, it's always a good idea to see your vet. And with eye issues, I personally don't think waiting over 24 hours is smart because your eyes are so sensitive. We've only got two, and each needs to be protected wisely. So an ounce of prevention is always worth far more than a pound of cure, especially when it comes to your cat's eyes.
In the news, we had out of Winnipeg this really weird, almost Alfred Hitchcock scene where people saw these masses and masses of black birds filling the sky, and they weren't crows, they were actually blackbirds, and then they all started dropping dead. Now, they're doing autopsies and stuff. They're trying to figure out what I'm imagining it must be, a pesticide or an insecticide or something like that. What do you think would do that?
Some kind of an environmental toxin. That obviously affected all these birds pretty severely.
That always makes me worry, like for me, for my kids, for the dogs, for the cats especially, because they're, you know, dogs and cats are always without clothes and low to the ground and licking their fur and licking their paws. And I just think, like, if that killed a whole bunch of blackbirds, what's it going to do to my pets and my kids and stuff like that?
Well, that's a great question. And I think because at this point, experts and scientists seem to still be puzzled as to why that seems to be happening. So I think that when they get this figured out, then we will absolutely know what the issue is. So far, they have excluded bird flu as well as Newcastle disease, which are both, you know, highly contagious. They just don't know at this point, but the environmental departments are working on it, and one of the officers suspected that they might have been illegally killed.
Oh, really? Oh, by the Barry guys. You know what? I was going to bring that up. There's huge wars here. That's another news item. The people on Vancouver Island and parts of Vancouver do not want the Barry busting. You know, the person sets an alarm, and all day long, every 20 minutes, these horrible noises go off, sirens, to scare the birds away from eating all their berries. And it drives the neighbors mental, as it would. you know, and so there's a lot of berry busting. I wonder if that's what's going on.
Well, the other thing that they mention is that you know, because birds prey on insects, small animals, and other birds, they can spend all day, you know, soaring in the sky looking for what they'd like. They're often seen hovering around fires, like a cane burn-off, if you will, where they can catch the insects that are being pushed.
On the updraft
of the fire. But if there's a roadkill, you know, they will all hover around and prey on that as well.
Interesting. So, that's like the hunting of the sea mammals when they herd the fish. It's like taking advantage of something natural, and all the bugs come up, so why not be on the top and get them?
Right, and for anyone that might want to call in and report this to the officials, 1-300-264-625 is the number that they have posted online.
So we'll be coming back after break on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. But have you ever heard, I just heard this and it surprised me, have you ever heard of a person taking their dog when they move from a house to an apartment or vice versa and actually marching the entire route? Someone just told me they'd done this and they thought it was a good idea to make their dog feel familiar in the new home. And, it was too late already and the person wasn't paying me for advice. But I really thought that was a recipe for the dog taking off and trying to find them next time they're away a little too long. I don't know if that's such a great idea. What do you think about that?
I think that the owner had good intentions. I don't know that, that's actually necessary. Certainly, you know, a companion animal that loves his mom and dad will quickly reacquaint to the new surroundings and have no problem figuring out where they're supposed to be, you know, when the family makes a move. So, no, I agree with you completely, Deborah. I don't think it's necessary at all.
When we come back, I want to talk about this horrible item in the news. I've sort of been putting it off all show because it's just too bad to talk about. It has to do with a python, and we'll be talking about that next. In a province that does not allow pit bulls, something terrible happened with a python, and maybe regulations need to be stepped up. It's already happening. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
With Deb Wolf and Dr. Carol, Dr. Carol Osborne. Did you hear about that news item? These two little boys.
Yes, I indeed did hear about that. Very, very sad. Absolutely terrible. And you know, that's a good lesson for many pet owners that might be snake fanciers to keep in mind, is that snakes have a very, very poor sense of vision. So their vision is very poor. They react primarily based on smell, their sense of smell being extremely keen. The situation here is that these two boys had been playing with a variety of farm animals, in particular one of which was rabbits, a favorite meal for a python. So when the python went through the exhaust system, and then because of his mere body weight, you know, fell through the ceiling. These boys had been playing, as I said, with rabbits and some other farm
animals. Yeah, they smelled like food.
Yeah, and all of which are great food for a python. So not only did the weight of the snake, you know, lend itself to this situation, but experts believe that because their sense of smell is so acute, that the snake was, you know, trying to get there to find his next meal as well. And something to remember is that if you ever get bitten by a snake, never, ever try to open the snake's mouth, because that's not going to happen. Their jaw locks. But get something like alcohol or vodka, even perfume or cologne, and just put it right underneath their little nose, and they will immediately open their jaw and drop whatever prey they've been holding.
Oh, that's a nice tip. I wish I knew that. Man, did I have some close encounters with snakes. And I don't find, I mean, with most animals, even odd animals, wildlife, sea mammals, there's this sense of intelligence and communication between me and them. I really didn't have that with snakes ever. I got a bad situation with snakes.
Yeah, I mean, many people like snakes, but especially if you go out west in California, for example, you know, snakes will swallow small dogs that happen to be cruising along the sidewalk, et cetera. So incidents like this, unfortunately, are not rare. Things like this have happened.
This is terrible. And now they're finding out. They're finding out the boys were asphyxiated by this python, who may or may not have been kept in the same room as them now. There seems to be some detective work involved in figuring out the true facts. But, and the whole thing, I mean, just, it's an animal that's illegal to have, but someone bought it when it was young and cute and imported it for whatever misguided reason. Not the guy who owned it. The guy who owned it sort of operated a rescue type of zoo type place, but had an apartment with children above, which really... Really, really. There's got to be regulations to stop that. But I just wish there weren't people thinking like Bieber thought, he can have a monkey, or you can have a python, or you should have a pet lion. It's ludicrous.
Well, not only is it ludicrous, but in the end, remember that little snakes, you know, little wild animals grow to be big. In this case, you know, you're talking about an 11 to 15 foot python who weighs several hundred pounds. And what was interesting in this particular case is there was no bite or initial lash out to either of the boys. They were simply strangulated to death by the snake curling his body, you know, around the two kids. And because of that, the experts are thinking that that sense of smell from that little pet area downstairs where the snake ended up was a primer for this snake going for his next meal.
It's so, so sad.
You know,
well, and there's so much you can prevent. If there's something like this in your community, get on it. You know, don't let them just sort of be there with something that's at risk to the people.
Yeah,
that,
you know, not to interrupt, but remember, if you do have a snake, make sure that it's in an enclosure or a room that is absolutely locked well. And remember, if it's your personal snake, and let's say you just finished lunch, you know, you had a ham sandwich or something like that, remember to wash your hands very, very well. Because when you walk into the snake's room, if your hands smell like fish or chicken or whatever you may have just eaten, that snake may go right for you. Because, again, he can't really see you, but he can smell that chicken.
My advice is get a cat, get a dog, forget this nonsense. Okay, now really, I'm not a fan of the creepy crawlies. And I don't even like the little furry cute things that are in cages. I think, yeah, it's okay in the barn. I like dogs and cats and horses. Horses in the barn also. All right, so I'm going to get emails about this one, Dr. Carol. Where can they contact you if they want more pet advice? Dr. Carol, can you give it out?
Absolutely. You can call our office toll-free at 866-DR-CAROL, which is 866-372-2765. We answer all kinds of pet questions and offer pet health consultations for dogs and cats. Visit us online at carolonpets.com.
There is some really funny footage going around of this bear, this mama bear, or female bear anyway, who twice got caught on video surveillance stealing a dumpster like it's a shopping cart, okay, because she's enormous and it looks small. She goes up to this enormous dumpster, bigger than a human, and just sort of takes it like it's a cart walking on two legs, like, you know, Meals on Wheels, takes her dinner to go. It's so funny. So if you can find that one, that's really good, people. It's cool. Okay, so Dr. Carol, we do have some questions here.
Okay.
Some people who I asked Dusty Rainbolt about it earlier in the show because it's a behavior question, but then they go into a kind of medical question. They have these two kittens. One's really friendly and one's really not, from different litters but adopted from the same place at the same time. They've treated the cats identically, and the one shy one has started to come out. We'll let them pet it sometimes. The other one's all over them, answers to his name, rubbing up against them, super, super friendly. And they want to know, is there a medical reason or a genetic reason beyond just, you know, what maybe one didn't have it as calm? Is there anything genetic or medical that would account for this? I think there's got to be genes that make an upbringing by mama cat. You know, maybe one had a nervous mom and one had a friendly mom. What do you think is behind this difference in the two kittens?
Well, assuming that both kittens have been to the vet and have had a physical exam and the veterinarian has told this particular owner that both cats passed the
physical
exam.
Yeah, they bought it from the vet. They bought both cats from a vet,
you know,
with a neuter package and the wormer to go and all this sort of stuff. And they've had the cats over a month now. And one's come around just like they expected, but the other one is still so shy.
Right. And remember that cats, like people and dogs, all have different personalities, curious, shy, aggressive, no matter what it is. And you simply have to learn to work with that individual and with their given personality. And that shy cat is going to need a lot more love and TLC than the one that's gregarious and that's out there playing with everyone and very friendly.
Well, next time, stay tuned. We'll talk to Dr. Carol again on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
And anytime.